So I'm kind of flashing back to the old days of 2019 when we went to the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium last December and heard a lot about trastuzumab deratuxan. And now in the last few weeks, we're starting to hear about it outside of breast cancer, lung cancer, colorectal and gastric cancer. Mike, can you comment a little bit on what was presented at ASCO? Really fascinating, this DESTINY trial looking at this antibody drug conjugate.
So this is looking at, as you said, trastuzumab deratuxan, which is a new kind of targeted therapy combining a drug bringing in a toxic load to your HER2 kind of a site of expression. And so we've seen activity in breast cancer. And this was basically the fundamental study looking at a specific colorectal cancer population and stratifying that by kind of positivity in regards to kind of HER2 and amplification status. And so you can see here what we're going to see is that the group that really demonstrated the benefit here is the HER2 amplified or the HER2, you know, 3+ kind of population, which is a surrogate for kind of amplification. And so patients with a high level of HER2 are really in the colorectal space, the group that's benefiting, which is a little different from what we see in breast cancer, where we see actually activity kind of across kind of more of a broad HER2 spectrum. I think the real exciting things is that within the HER2 amplified space, we see activity in patients that have had prior HER2 therapy. So that's one kind of point. And then we see a really high level of activity, right? We just saw there a 45% response rate. And you see here the waterfall plot really demonstrating remarkable activity, you know, more than what we've seen kind of with prior HER2 kind of doublet targeting. And these are patients, a number of these that already had prior HER2 therapy. So a really active HER2 targeting agent. I think the one other caveat is what was just kind of shown there in regards to the toxicity spectrum is that there is this unique interstitial lung disease that can happen with this agent and can actually lead to kind of severe kind of lung compromise and even death, as you can see here, kind of 2 grade 5 events that we're seeing in this population. And so that is kind of one of the toxicity challenges. But I do believe the high rate of activity that you see with this agent is going to kind of make this an agent that moves forward in the HER2 space. And I think we'll see it actually potentially move even earlier forward as the objective response rate in PFS appears better than the current kind of alternative doublet kind of options that we're using currently for HER2 targeting in the HER2 amplified population.
So Axel, you were very much involved with this. I don't know if you actually have had any patients who received this agent. Can you comment on where you see it fitting in clinically?
Yeah, now it's actually off study. So we actually, based on the DESTINY data in gastric cancer and in colon cancer, I've used actually this FDA-approved drug now off-label in studies. Mike really highlighted very importantly, I think it's a game changer for the treatment of patients with HER2 overexpression in colorectal cancer and in gastric cancer and in breast cancer. So it is really a unique mechanism of action. And I do believe it will eventually move from later line therapies potentially to an early line therapy. There's actually it's in a first line study. It's in planning right now in combination as a single agent and in combination with chemotherapy, because we have to keep in mind this is chemotherapy embedded in the HER2 targeted therapy. It's an antibody drug conjugate. So it can potentially even completely replace any of the standard chemotherapy options, even in the first or second line setting in HER2 overexpressing cancers. So hopefully we'll be able to get the toxicity, you know, that Mike pointed out, the ILD, the interstitial lung disease, as the main side effect or main threatening side effect under control, have better monitoring ways and strategies to deal with that. Because then the door is open for this drug to move into earlier line of therapy. And potentially, you know, at some point, we might even consider adjuvant treatment options, you know, for the very small group of patients with HER2 positive disease, perhaps based on, you know, identifying a higher risk group of patients based on molecular residual disease, MRD using ctDNA technology. You know, there's so much in the future, which is exciting for me. All the technologies we've talked about today will really change the way we treat, identify patients, you know, for certain interventions. It's one of the most exciting times in oncology ever.
So I'm curious also, in terms of the spectrum, I think I understand this correctly. As you both mentioned, this is HER2 amplified, like breast cancer, but yet in lung cancer, it's HER2 mutant. I guess that doesn't occur too much in colorectal cancer. Any comments on the spectrum of HER2 that you see in colorectal cancer, Axel?
So in HER2 mutations, we find them, we actually see this in our profile, but so far in colorectal cancer, those mutations have not really been at the same predictive value as clear HER2 overexpression by either protein assay or by ISH or CISH or FISH. So in this one, actually one of the questions in the study, the DESTINY colorectal cancer study, that the low expressors did really not benefit from this TDDX, TDXD study, so this antibody drug conjugate. So the just mere presence of this antigen on the surface of tumor cells, like in the 1+ or 2+ setting, without amplification, really did not show a benefit for patients. And I believe, you know, the biologic value of HER2 is different for different tumor types. In breast cancer, it's clearly a driver of bad prognosis and bad biology. So targeting this is not just targeting this antigen and using it as a mechanism of action to really get the drug delivered into the tumor, but also it counteracts the bad biology that HER2 generates. In colon cancer and in gastric cancer, that's not as important, but it still works. And when we look at the higher expressors, that we can use this antibody drug conjugate binding to HER2 and then more or less selectively kill tumor cells.
Any comments, and I don't know whether you saw any of these patients actual, about the interstitial lung problem that's been reported with all these trials with this agent?
Yeah, so this is actually, it's interesting because the onset was quite variable. It didn't happen right away. It came over time. And, you know, in these cases, which were ended up more severe, some of these subtle symptoms were likely missed initially because it's not the most common side effect that we see. Now, having said that, interstitial lung disease, the kind of drug-induced pneumonitis, can happen with various other agents. You know, I've seen it with oxaplatin, I've seen it with EGF receptor antibodies, I've seen it with alotinib. So there's a low risk of these ILDs in all patients, and we see it actually with checkpoint inhibitors, of course. And I'm personally very sensitive to that because I've seen very severe patients who severe clinical courses and have lost patients, you know, with ILD, not with this agent, but with other agents. And so I'm very, very sensitive to whenever I see interstitial infiltrate on our routine CT scans, where I stop therapy and initiate steroids, although we clearly do not have prospective data whether this steroid exposure, hydroxydexamethasone and prednisone, is really able to make a difference here. But hopefully, and Mike said, you know, this is one of the more important drugs and one of the more important side effects. Hopefully, we'll learn from the experience and be more sensitive and develop supportive care strategies for these patients.